Chapter 3, The Army of Heaven. The massacre at Quorum's village was the latest link in a chain of similar events stretching back decades. There was a kind of creeping death starting from the edges of human habitation that was gradually gaining ground. Quorum's people were decimated by two messengers who carried death within their ribs, but death was also rising from the riverbeds and ascending invisible from the night sky. Villages were disappearing. Far away in the Antilia island chain, plague and strife had begun to reign. This went largely unnoticed by the people on the mainland. Instead, the West and the East alike were seeing a resurgence of old superstitions, up to and including human sacrifice. Cults that had been discarded in more civilized times regained popularity as the people struggled to retain a sense of safety. The Western countries, insular and disorganized, were slow to realize what was happening in isolated settlements. So it was with Quorum's village, and so it had been for years. Half a world away in the east, men had been aware of the enemy for longer. Their lands, more densely populated, had seen more of the intruder's forms. But even they did not know what was happening or why. Governments became more restrictive out of fear. Out of this chaos rose the Army of Heaven. It was natural for the countries of the East and West to retain standing armies even in times of peace. But while the West dragged its feet, the East assessed its situation and came to the conclusion that the regular army was not sufficient to combat the new threat on its own. A new fighting force was established, one that promoted inhumanity to combat the inhuman agents that were wiping out whole villages and towns. A soldier of the new army had to kill without remorse, judge without sentiment, and act without thought. These ideal soldiers were likened to gods, and they took the name Heaven. The new army's first action was to assume control of the state in the name of national security. They were completely ruthless, and the people were terrified of them. The regular army became the next example of the new army's effectiveness, sustaining heavy losses until it finally capitulated and recognized the Army of Heaven as the supreme defensive force of the land. And so it was in Quorum's time. The Army of Heaven had reigned in the East for almost 5 years. The army stopped at no necessary atrocity, yet took no action it deemed unnecessary. It loomed serene and efficient as the ultimate defense against the unknown threat to man, and it continued to grow. The Army of Heaven accepted men above the age of 13 only. The main body of the army was composed of sergeants and soldiers. A sergeant's primary job was to train more soldiers. Upon training a new squad, the sergeant released them to the nearest captain and repeated the process with new men. There were very few captains, and this was the highest rank. No one outside the army, not even those in the regular army, understood the organizational method by which the Army of Heaven acted in perfect unison. Many thought there must be a leader, but no one knew what kind of man he was or where he was, if he existed at all. At the time that the Anko entered Quorum's settlement, a small group of men in the Ikuran province had just completed their first phase of training. Their sergeant studied them carefully. Not one pair of eyes looked back into his. Everyone stared straight ahead. All the men here were on the verge of being soldiers in the Army of Heaven. They were disciplined, ruthless, and unattached to any place or anyone. The only thing for them now was the army. The army is the end. Now he lifted his voice to them.
Your training is complete. Tomorrow we will begin gauntlet. One gauntlet per day until we are a unit. Understood?
Sir, yes, sir.
There was no dissonance. Not so much as one voice was a half second off. The 30 or so men before him breathed and thought as one.
There are two kinds of men in this world, soldiers and dogs. The sergeant strode up and down the line. The soldiers have the thankless job of protecting the dogs, but in return the soldier is free. A soldier stands and fights while a dog cowers in fear. In this world, where the weak are devoured by the strong, soldier is God. The army is the end. Soldier is God. The men knew what to say and when to say it. The men believed.
The sergeant stopped and nodded, satisfied. He could taste their belief. He was confident that many of these men, perhaps even most of them, would survive Gauntlet and become soldiers. It was not boasting to say that one soldier in the Army of Heaven was worth 10 or 20 men from the regular army. He did not reflect upon which men would make it and which would not. The Army of Heaven did not refuse any man from joining simply because he was too old or too small. Anyone who could survive the training and gauntlet would become a soldier. Anyone who did not was a dog.
Dismissed.
The sergeant left for his tent. Unlike him, most of the men were more than willing to amuse themselves with predictions about who would become a soldier and who would end life as a dog. While the main body of men bragged and fought, a few others withdrew to the sides to eat or take their rest before early morning when gauntlet would begin. Most of these latter men were automatically marked as dogs by the others. Father was one of these. He had never given his proper name, and this did not matter in the Army of Heaven. Frequently, new identities were created here. The Army of Heaven did not care if a man was a fugitive or a priest so long as he could kill. Father was more like a priest than a fugitive, and though he was strong, he was old enough to be father to most of the men there. These singularities had earned him his name. He went over to one of the youngest squad members, with whom he spent much of his time. "It is not too late," the old man put his hand on Vada's shoulder. "You could leave tonight. I could help you." But his friend only turned aside. Possessed of a slight build and stature, Vada was perhaps the most certain bet for dog among the other soldiers if betting had been allowed in the Army of Heaven. It did not help that Vada never spoke to anyone or tried to make friends. It was only a dogged persistence on Father's part that enabled their strange friendship. Perhaps the old man was moved by pity for this child who had chosen isolation even in this rigid army, where being too different or too aloof could be lethal. "You really won't go?" Father's face broke into a frown. Vada said quietly, "The army is the end." "I fear that will be especially true for you." The old man walked off, disgusted at such obstinacy. Vada watched him before turning and noiselessly going to bed. In the main body of the camp, a fistfight broke out among the men as tempers rose over slurs fueled by false bravado. Everyone was privately scared of failing. Normally, by this time, the sergeant would have come out of his tent to cuff one or two of the men upside the head and send them all back to their barracks, but he was currently busy. So focused was he that he did not even hear the gruff voices outside or the fighting. "This is very unclear," the sergeant was speaking to a courier. "Are you certain nothing happened between your departure and your arrival at my camp?" The courier's back became more rigid. "Sir, no, sir. The message was not tampered with in any way. The colonel's seal was unbroken." "Yes." The sergeant stroked his chin. "Very well. Get a meal and then return to me before you leave camp. Dismissed." After the courier left, the sergeant reread the message in his hands for what seemed like the 10th time. An aerial attack? What do they mean by an aerial attack? He felt uneasy. The colonel's messages were normally very concise and unambiguous, but this one was completely jumbled. Were it not for several phrases that served as a rough code between the two men, the sergeant would have doubted the letter's veracity. As it was, he still had difficulty believing it. What the sergeant might have called an aerial attack involved things like ballistics, but this message seemed to imply that the enemy was in fact approaching their troops from the air, and such a thing was impossible. The sergeant paced his tent, then sat down to write. Clarification was needed. There was no use panicking until then. When the courier returned, he was handed a new message. The sergeant wrote to the colonel as if he, and not the colonel, was the superior officer. This was not unusual for an officer at any rank in the Army of Heaven. Those in the regular army were respected above dogs, but they were not treated the same as those within the circle, and they were not wholly trusted. After seeing the courier off, the sergeant spoke with the sentries and then walked back to his quarters for the night. By the time he crossed the camp, even the quarrelers had gone back to their barracks. At dawn, the trumpet sounded throughout camp, and the sergeant's voice thundered after it.
"Roll out! Roll out for gauntlet!"